Katie Price has been criticised after saying if she'd known about her son's disabilities while pregnant, she might have considered having an abortion. The model said she would have done that because of fears of not being able to cope. She went on to say she would now never take action. Let's hear what she said on Loose Women.
And I was young when I had Harvey, and I admitted that if I knew he was blind before I had him, as harsh as it sounds, I probably would have aborted him. Because to me, it's like, oh, my God, it's blind, how would I cope?
And it was fear of the unknown, of course.
Well, of course, yeah. I know that sounds harsh, but now it's like, oh, my God, no way. If I got pregnant again and they said your child's going to have disabilities or anything, I'd definitely keep it. I'd even adopt a child with disabilities. Until you're in that situation, you don't know. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love Harvey so much. I would never change anything about him. Yes, it's challenging, but it's also rewarding.
Well, Marianne Woods from the anti-abortion group Life NI with us this morning. Morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Lee Edwards. Lee's written an article defending Katie Price. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
Let's get your reaction first, Marianne, and then we'll speak to Lee. Go ahead, Marianne.
Well, first of all, Stephen, thanks for having me on. And just to say that we are a pro-life charity, so the very fact that Katie Price shows so much love for her son is something that we greatly admire in her. And we would in no way criticise her. She has demonstrated just how much she cares for her son. I think what the little clip that you have just played demonstrates is that within society, whenever there are diagnoses made, there is an initial fear. And what we have to do in society is to educate people. And Katie Price is actually an excellent example of a woman who had that initial fear, continued with her pregnancy, had her baby. And now, as she said, whilst her life is challenging, it's also very rewarding, her life with Harvey. So she has a prime example of where we in Life Northern Ireland would say that the life-affirming choice to continue with the pregnancy and to have the child demonstrates a great relationship between the mother and her child. And we trust women to love their children and we trust women to make the best decisions for their children, which is to carry on with that pregnancy and to support their children, as Katie Price so evidently does every day.
Lee?
Well, for the start off, Katie Price didn't know whether her child would be born with disabilities or not. So in that context, you can't really say that, you know, she knew what she was going to do, because she didn't know that's the whole, you know, this is what this is all about. Secondly, what I'd like to highlight is the fact that women who are in this situation, I didn't know that my son was going to be born with Down syndrome. Women or, you know, parents, obviously couples, who do know, the problem that they have, I would say, is that they don't feel like they have a choice when they are choosing to terminate. The complete woeful lack of support from local councils, education, the government with benefits and all the rest of it, it is not providing enough for people who find themselves in that situation to make a very educated decision, as far as I'm concerned.
You tell us about your child, Lee.
I was 23. I fell pregnant. I went 9 months, had an emergency section when he was born. And when he was born, he was only 4 pounds four, very sickly looking child. Taken into special care baby unit, I was told that I could go home after a week. The consultant had to pop in first to have a chat with me. When I had a chat, basically, I was told my son has Down syndrome. And on that day, this is to highlight how badly some parents are treated. And I don't want to criticise the NHS because they're a wonderful service and they have done so much for my son in his life. But on that day, I went home with my son. I was given a leaflet about the Scottish Down Syndrome Association and parked off in my taxi home. Now, when you hear stories like this, like me and many other parents of children, parents with disabled children, it would put a fear and a doubt in your mind when you're pregnant. How am I going to cope when there is so little support out there? It is all fine and well having a great family support, but when it's just you and your family and you need outside help and you cannot get it, how are you supposed to cope? How is that a choice that you can, you know, in your right mind make when you're pregnant, when you don't feel like you will be able to cope? Let's get together with everybody on both sides, pro-life and pro-choice, to find out how we can work together to give these parents the right sort of information and support to rule out saying, well, yeah, if I can get that support and funding, emotional support, I won't have to fight for my child's education, then you can say, yes, I'm going to continue with this pregnancy. I'm going to look forward to having my child. I know it's going to be a struggle, but I'm going to have that safety net to help me.
How difficult,
to help your family.
How difficult was it for you to cope?
It was very difficult. I was a single parent, which is, you know, I had a very good support from my mum. My mum is my rock. I would not have been able to cope without my mum and how much she's done for me. But aside from that, in every step of the way with my son, I have to fight for every single bit of help. When my son was at nursery, now my son with Down syndrome, the children, well, people have poor mobility because of poor muscle tone. Now, I didn't drive at that time. I drive now, but I had to use public transport. Now, I didn't know that the city council in my home city should have been providing me with transport. Up until my child was into primary three at a mainstream school, may I add, I had to walk my son or get a bus, and nobody told me I was entitled to that transport. Why wasn't I told this? The same with DLA. A child up until a certain age, you are not allowed to apply for any benefit. Now, my son was in and out of hospital when he was younger. He had countless appointments. And I was told that DLA wasn't an entitlement because he was not any worse off. He had no less of a quality of life than any other child of his age. How is that right? How can anybody say that to choose to have a termination when you know your child will have disabilities? How can anybody say you're taking that decision lightly? Or, you know, any woman that is pregnant, of course you don't want to give up your child. That is just a horrible, horrible feeling. The guilt must gnaw away at women and, you know, couples who have had to do that or felt they had to do that. People shaming parents and women who have had terminations is not helping the matter. We need to get on board. All these people saying, you're a terrible person, that's terrible, God will judge you, blah, blah, blah. Where are these people when they should be at council saying, why are these people, why is services being cut for disabled children? Why is, in my home city of Dundee, why is there only one special education school to cover the whole of this city?
You said in your article, Lee, there's no doubt I would have chosen a termination if I'd been told about my son's condition while I was pregnant.
That's correct, yes.
Do you feel any sense of regret about thinking like that at the time?
No, I don't regret that at the time. That is how I felt. I'm not going to apologise for my feelings. As I'm saying right now, I felt as a single parent, I was going to be a single parent. I was not in a great, I was in an okay financial situation, but not in a good enough situation that I would have been able to, that I felt at 23 years of age, that I would have been able to cope with a child with extra and additional needs. And that was the bottom line. If I knew then what I know now, that would be completely different. If I had the opportunity to go and talk to maybe some of the parents who have children with, you know, additional needs or, you know, Down syndrome or any other sort of diagnosis, maybe that would have helped. But I didn't know at that time. This is, you know, I didn't know that at the time. It wasn't until I had my son that, and obviously with age and experience now, I can look back. 2020 hindsight's a great thing.
And obviously, Marion Woods, the big question is, who gets to decide?
Well, the first thing I would say is that there's definitely common ground with what Lee is saying. Absolutely, there is a lack of support at the minute, and we do need to stand in solidarity with women. They do deserve better. Lee shouldn't have had to fight for help. Should have been readily available. Wraparound care should be readily available. We definitely have to have the opportunity to lead the way in choosing life-affirming policies, which includes support after babies are born. I don't know if Lee read or whether it resonates with her, but Breda O'Brien wrote a very interesting article in the Irish Times at the weekend, and she talked about the stages of grief, especially, and I appreciate that Katie Price didn't have the diagnosis beforehand. I was just using her as an example of how, you know, in that way now she demonstrates the ability to show love to her son, the ability to recognise the the blessings or the challenges and the rewards that she gets. However, Breed O'Brien talks about women who do find out as a diagnosis, prenatal diagnosis, that their child has a disability or has a terminal illness, and she talks about stages of grief. And I think that is somewhere where Life Northern Ireland, we are very keen to walk with the women through that journey. And this has to be 24-hour wraparound care. Women do deserve better. And we truly believe that whenever women are supported, if that's a case where we actually accompany women, you know, where on their day-to-day things that they need to do, if they need support, if they need an ear to listen, they need somewhere to go just to have respite themselves during the journey of their pregnancy, whatever it is that the woman needs. And we believe that if we can provide that support and be a strong pair of hands on the shoulders of the woman walking with them, that they will make life-affirming choices. And we also need to appeal to the system to actually have in place all the support, so that if it's a case of transport, that women know, well, this is how I go about getting the transport that I need. This is how I go about accessing the services that I need. It's a societal issue. We all have to work together, absolutely. Women can't do this on their own.
Okay.
We do need to work together.